Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of The Cosmic Circle, the official podcast of The Cosmic Circus. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about Marvel's Hall H presentation from this year's San Diego Comic-Con. I know everybody was excited for it. There was not all that much excitement after from a lot of people. A lot of people were very stoked. There's a lot of confusion. We're going to talk about it. My name is Brian Kitson, head writer at The Cosmic Circus, and joining me today are, once again, the infamous or famous, depending on what you want to say, Anthony Flagg. And of course, we have Alex Perez. Welcome back.
It's good to talk to you 1 hour later.
1 hour later.
I'm
slightly
ready.
More caffeinated. Slightly more caffeinated, maybe. Just a little bit.
Just hydrated, man. It's water.
So let's get into it. Before we get into it, though, as we just let our other writer know, Uday, there is going to be a spoiler warning. If you don't want to be spoiled about possible spoilery things from the future of the MCU, or at least the rest of this next phase or so, you probably want to get out of here. But if you stayed around this long, you know what you're getting yourself into. You want to be here with us. We want to be here with you. We're all here for Alex. This is the Alex Show. And this is Alex's world, and we're all living in it. No, I'm just kidding. So you've been properly spoiled. I think that's enough spoiler warnings. So we're going to dive right into the first project that was talked about there, which was Captain America Brave New World. We did have somebody on the floor that was there. That was kind of in talks with you, Alex. Do you want to kind of give like a rundown of like your impressions of what this project was in that moment?
Like, you mean when they showed it at the hall, or like?
Yeah. Oh, I'm just giving you the floor.
No, I don't want this show to just no. be me ranting for an hour. Good Lord. No, okay. Lord knows I do that already on Twitter and everybody gets pissed at me for it. But
okay. Let's put this out. We weren't there. None of us were.
Right.
Yeah.
What for the two of you, what was your impression of what we saw on Twitter, what people were talking about? It seemed like the big draw of this project was when Harrison Ford walked out on stage and was doing the Hulk impressions, which might be my new screensaver. Who knows?
That was pretty awesome.
That was awesome. You know,
even at that age to do that.
You know, and I just want to say, like, whenever you look at Harrison Ford talking about Star Wars, he always looked so bored when talking about these films that especially in the new trilogy. But then, like, you see him come out for Captain America and he's just so pumped. I was like, what am I looking at? But
for 82 years old, I was like, this man has energy. I thought he was falling. Like, I swear, I'm swearing on someone's grave that when he was doing press for one of the other Star Wars movies, he was falling asleep during the interviews.
You know, like, you know what I think? I think he's just happy that he's doing something else for a change. Because normally whenever we see Harrison Ford, it's always about like Han Solo or Indiana Jones. But now that he's entering a new franchise that he hasn't really stepped in before, now that he's like, it's ironic though, because this isn't his first time playing president.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
So it's like you're gonna do a president again. But you turn into a red monster this time. And he's like, all right.
Literally, though, when he was like, I would have grown a mustache if you guys would have asked. And I literally, like, he was just so excited to be there. Like, I loved the last Indiana Jones film. That man felt like he was calling in half that performance.
I would have never guessed in a million years he was going to show up. Because he doesn't do this sort of thing.
No.
He doesn't show up. And he just showed up. And I was like, holy crap. He must. Either he's really invested in Cap 4 or they are paying a buttload of money.
You know, this is a tiny bit off topic, but just focused on him. I've noticed Ford has started to come back to liking doing movies ever since he died as Han Solo. Because even when he did like the TV show Shrinking, he seemed pretty enthused about it. And it's not like that show is like super exciting or anything. So it's just nice to see that enthusiasm from him. So like, think about a few months from now when he's doing press for it, it's probably going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I want you to know, I know of somebody who worked on Shrinking, and they said that he was so passionate about that project and he was so excited. He was like being the ultimate cheerleader of that show. And they said that made them love that show even more because Harrison Ford was so into it. And I, when they said that, I was like, that's interesting because that's not the energy I've gotten from him in the last decade. But back to Captain America, I was going to say Civil War. We are past that. Brave New World. We got, you know, a trailer. We got some footage. We got in this footage, while we didn't see it, it showed Harrison Ford transforming into the Red Hulk. Am I right?
That's correct. He transformed into the Hulk while giving a speech. The scene does play out in the trailer. You can kind of see it. It's like when he's walking onto a podium that's in front of like the White House. He's kind of like walking out. And at that same moment, there's like soldiers that start pointing guns at them. That's kind of that's kind of like what plays out. We see him transform into the Red Hulk. But we also saw like the clip of the president talking about the president. Like, I've acknowledged Harrison Ford as my president. We see President Ross talking about the Celestial, Tiamat, and how the island that kind of like protruded out the ocean, how it currently holds a rare mineral, which they are dubbing adamantium. We all know what that is. I am not going to lie. I am thoroughly surprised. And the thing that the reason why they were like mentioning this was because, you know, every single country in the world is currently trying to get their hands on adamantium because, you know, they're kind of playing off what happened with
Black Panther and vibranium.
Yeah, in Black Panther, that everybody wanted to get their hands on vibranium, France, but France and the U.S. technically, the U.S. built their own machine using MIT resources. Not me calling out the Massachusetts Institute of Technology a villain in the MCU. Not on my bingo card, but I love it anyway, and it's still they're still going to be a villain, Ironheart. Kind of like elaborating, they're playing off that storyline of like currently the world is so tense with heroes and all of these characters that are kind of coming in, and they kind of want to have their own defense, but kind of like their ways of defending themselves in case any of these heroes kind of turned evil. So they're trying to find any sort of mineral or material to kind of help them defend themselves from that. And vibranium was the first option that failed. And then now that this island suddenly came out with the Celestial, and the Celestial being revealed to be entirely made out of adamantium, now everybody in the world kind of wants to get that. And what's interesting is, we nearly start World War III in this movie, and you can kind of see it because there's it's kind of like the mission that they send. They send Sam on with the new Falcon, who's played by Danny Ramirez, Joaquin Torres, and they're on a mission at on the Celestial Island or Tiamat Island. I don't know what they're calling it. And it's a mission where, like, the United States is kind of like going on a race against Japan, which was interesting. It was interesting to see like Japan be portrayed as the villain nation in this scenario. Kind of interesting because it's like, oh, they're calling back to the old World War II days, you know, the Imperial Japan was anyway history buff there. But it's kind of like interesting how they're playing that out, and then you know. There are those tensions to kind of get those minerals and try to get to adamantium first and claim that island, which then leads to the creation of that summit. You know, well, the summit where a prime minister was there, who's played by the actor who from Shogun, and we kind of see that, and that's kind of just how the plot just continues to develop. You know, the United States tries to make this summit with Japan to kind of like get the peace talks going and just see how they can evenly distribute this material across the nation and across the world, which is kind of like what Harrison Ford's pitching. But obviously, the United States wants to keep this adamantium for themselves. And the movie just goes on from there. And it's just this, I do agree. And I think Kevin Feige hit the nail on the head when he said that Brave New World goes deep into like how they're going back to their roots of grounded spy thriller with the Winter Soldier, you know, the second Captain America film. And I think he hit the nail on the head, but I think he hit it a little bit too hard, because if you take the plot from Winter Soldier and you copy pasted it onto Brave New World and just change the characters, you're pretty much about to get the exact same movie, except there's not really, well, you know, it's exactly that. It's literally just copy paste that, because you're going to get the start of freaking Brave New World with Serpent Society. And you have that separate mission, which has the same, if you remember Winter Soldier, what does that start with? A separate mission with Steve Rogers and Natasha Romanoff fighting Batroc the Leaper, a villain from the comics. And then this movie is now going to start with what? Them going on a mission apparently in Mexico, at least it was filmed in Mexico. And it's going up against the Serpent Society, who are not necessarily like this big, necessarily the most important villains in the part of the story, but they're literally just copy pasting and rearranging the Winter Soldier to make a new story. And I feel like that's such a very safe move. But then they add the element of the Hulk in, and it's like, all right, we can play ball with this. But I can already jump for this movie comes out in what, February next year?
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I can literally jump forward in time, and I can already see the reviews saying that this film was a copy paste mix and match of The Winter Soldier, if they still keep everything that they've pretty much been doing, which is kind of what they've been doing, and they don't really seem to have any plans to change that. But you know, there was one thing I think it was Anthony Mackie who said, like, the events of The Incredible Hulk are not pertinent to this movie, and nothing that happened in The Incredible Hulk kind of like matters. Debatable. I could say debatable.
I mean, because we are getting the leader who was from the end of that film.
Yeah, and you know, he's kind of involved with Ross and Red Hulk, and you know, there's also Betsy Ross who's going to come back, you know, so there's that. You know, particularly what I find interesting about the leader is kind of just like trying to, let me see if I can try kind of explain how it goes. 'Cause you have the Serpent Society the leader is trying to start World War III, essentially.
Which is, you know, we just got confirmation of who was playing the leader of the Serpent Society at this panel, which was quite surprising, too. That's not who I thought would be playing him.
Right. So it
felt like a waste. Let me put it that way.
And the thing is, it feels like a waste because it's so weird, though, because a lot of people were confirming that he was George Washington Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, George, and like, sure, there have been instances of character name changes. It doesn't matter. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know exactly who it was. I was hoping it was Bushman, mainly because like you'd expect someone like Giancarlo Esposito to kind of like have a longer time showing up in the MCU, but I'm not one to know exactly what kind of these details are. But you know, the Serpent Society's kind of goal, they're the ones who kind of steal adamantium from Japan, you know, at least that's the premise I was told. You know, they kind of steal the adamantium from Japan, you know, and Sam kind of has to stop them with Joaquin to kind of prevent World War III. And you think, oh, Serpent Society is just this random organization. No, they were hired by the leader, you know. And there's it's this thriller that keeps taking lots of twists and turns and tries to be this phase's Winter Soldier. And I'm not sure, at least reading about what sources have told me, I don't know how exactly that might play out. Okay. It could be interesting, but I need to see it to kind of like have to kind of understand it. And okay, you know, I don't
think that's fair.
Yeah, I'm not going to give away the ending, but I just read comics, folks. Read comics about the Red Hulk, and that's all you need. That's all you need.
Let me ask you this, Anthony. Is there anything of the Brave New World portion of this panel that made you excited for this film? Because I have to say, I was actually watching a Hallmark movie at the same time and literally was just like, eh. And I kept watching. There was like nothing that I was like, oh, like I need to stop and like pause it and think about this film. You're like, yeah, it's cool to see the Red Hulk in there. I was kind of disappointed with Esposito's role announcement. I was thinking it was going to be something bigger, something juicier. What were your thoughts on this portion?
Honestly, the only thing I'm truly excited about is to watch this movie and say, ooh, I've been there. That's about it.
That's valid.
Because I really liked during the trailer when they showed them fighting by the cherry blossoms. That gives you a time frame of when this is happening. Because they only bloom during like March and April. So I'm like, okay, right. so this happens in the spring, you know. Just so you know, Alex, so if you want to use that information for whatever reason.
I will say that like they definitely showed Red Hulk in that first trailer, and they're showing that is the biggest draw of this film is they're trying to get people to come because of the Red Hulk.
Yeah, I'm excited for Red Hulk. Absolutely. I'm definitely excited about adamantium. I mean, it's a cool metal. There's a lot of different applications. It's not just used as skeletons, right? So I'm curious to see what the Japanese come up with. I'm curious of what the Americans come up with in this movie, if they get to use it in the movie.
Yeah, and then the thing is, like, I don't think, well, I'm not going to answer the question of whether or not they use adamantium, mainly because that is a spoiler. What I'll say is they've managed to synthesize the material,
right?
But it's just the use of it, you know, like whenever you have this rare type of material, obviously everyone's going to want to get their hands on it, and it leads to tensions, right? Because Japan's like the first one to kind of synthesize it, but then Serpent Society comes in, steals it, and obviously that just leads to tensions with the United States, and they try to make this summit to make peace, you know. And it, essentially, they're just like trying to start World War III, which I'm going to also go on a very big leap here, because I know there's a couple of our followers on Twitter and on social media, Bravefire specifically, who asks me every day without fault about World War Hulk and just anything about the Hulk in general. You know, I this is the problem I have with the multiverse saga in general. How are we supposed to cover all of these stories in a span of 2 years before we get to Secret Wars? Because you have the storyline of the World War tensions, and you have the storyline with the Hulk blood. You have to deal with, like, which is supposed to lead into a World War Hulk style project. Like, I have been told many, many times, we're going to get Red Hulk fighting Bruce Banner at some point. Like, it's going to happen. But how it's going to happen within the next 2 years, it's impossible. You know, it's impossible to get a World War Hulk project at this point in time. And, you know, even if they eventually do it past Secret Wars, I feel like the interest for that project is going to just immediately evaporate. Like, it's going to be another Black Widow situation where everybody wanted a Black Widow movie, but they decided to do it like 4 years too late. Mm-hmm. And they released it in 2020. And it's like, okay, why are you releasing this now? We don't care. She's dead. What's the point of this? And it's like, okay, we've established Florence Pugh and Red Guardian. Great. But the movie suffered because this is a movie that people wanted to see a long time ago in theaters. But instead of doing it chronologically, they decide to do it out of order. And the same thing goes with World War Hulk. Like, if they do this project after Secret Wars, it's going to falter, because, like, people are not going to, like, I don't want to sound mean, but people are not going to wait to have another 4 years. They're not going to wait 4 or 5 years to see this type of project develop.
In fact, this is one of the things people have been complaining about, like the things that are not paying off as it is. Like you're getting all of these post-credit scenes that just aren't going anywhere, and you're waiting years and it's spinning out. The only way that they could have solved this problem was they could have pushed out Secret Wars and had more projects, or have more projects in a year, which is not feasible. And they chose neither, which is something we're going to talk about as we get a little bit long, you know, farther onto this, because it's coming in 2 years. Like we are headed straight into Secret Wars and we're not slowing down, and there's just not enough time for all of the stories that they have. And I think it's going to really suffer. Mm-hmm. But this leads us into, you know, so we had Captain America, Brave New World. We've all the things that came with that, that portion of it. And we went straight into Thunderbolts, which I will say I did stop and pause because I love Florence Pugh. There's not a project that she cannot do that I won't turn up for. I think she is absolutely phenomenal in this role. And I am excited for Thunderbolts. I am not excited for Captain America, Brave New World. I am excited for Thunderbolts for Florence Pugh. Anthony, what about you? What are you feeling about this portion of the panel? You excited for Thunderbolts?
I am excited for Thunderbolts. I am not excited for Red Guardian, but everything else I'm excited about.
Okay, valid.
Yeah, I know.
Go back. I know.
Red,
you're not excited for Red Guardian.
he's a little annoying, but it's okay. I'm still excited for it overall. Like everybody else, I'm really excited. Like, you know, they dropped that little bomb that Bucky's a congressman. Like, that's very interesting. I can't wait to go into that whenever that comes around. And, you know, the rumor of Sentry, very exciting.
Bob?
I'm sorry, Bob. But
when they said that, I was like, come on.
I don't know. I like ensemble things. So that's why I love Guardians. That's an ensemble thing. Avengers and this.
Dude,
this
when they said one. When they said Geraldine was Mel, I was like, oh my god, please stop. It's like, listen, I know what you're doing. And I said this a really long time ago when I don't want to say her name wrong.
You want me to say it for you?
Adepayo?
Ayo Edebiri.
What? Oh, Ayo, right. I'm confusing one actress with another. But yeah, Ayo, right. Ayo was cast as, thank you, Red. When Ayo was cast as Valentina's secretary, literally the first thing that came out to me was, oh, she has pink hair. And I was like, it's freaking Melissa Gold. You can't tell me otherwise. And I was like, yes. And I got carried away because I tweeted on Twitter, yes, little songbird, sing. I was just, I love Songbird. My first exposure to Songbird was, this is going to be a deep cut, but if anyone's ever played Ultimate Alliance 2, bro, oh, yeah. Songbird is a very powerful character. And it's thanks to that game that I got into Civil War, because the game covers the events of Civil War and then just spins off into a very random story about like Nick Fury and nanites and an alien invasion. And it's just a very weird storyline. But anyways, it covered Civil War, and that's kind of where I got into Civil War. And then after Civil War, I got into Thunderbolts. And then after Thunderbolts, I got into like Dark Reign and Secret Invasion, and just how everything kind of like went in there. So that was kind of like my big introduction into comics, just reading that, like playing that game. So obviously like Melissa Gold is like an awesome thing. But then I heard like, obviously, Ayo had to cut leave because they're filming The Bear, and understandably so. The same thing with Steven Yeun. But I've heard that they're both gonna eventually be recast for other potential roles. You know, there's a high chance that they will be recast as other characters. So there's interest for them. There's still hope, you know. But when I saw Geraldine called Mel, I was like, oh, this is Songbird. And it's not like I don't think we're gonna see her like with her full extent of her powers, but it's just going to be teased, you know, because the thing with Thunderbolts is we're gonna learn that the Thunderbolts and Sentry are not the only superpowered individuals in this universe. The same thing as with the Avengers. We're gonna see a couple of interesting things that the government has kind of been doing on the sidelines. And, you know, with Val as the head of the CIA, it just becomes even more shady. And it's funny because in a way they're making the United States a villain at this point. So it's like, well, yeah.
Well, the shoe fits.
Well, if the shoe fits, I'm not necessarily from the United States, so I can't comment. it's a mix. Anyways, but you know, there was one thing that was very interesting to me. We find in the trailer, you know, they're kind of like, we kind of already get this sense that Valentina is setting them up on this suicide mission by giving them all the exact same mission. You know, that's kind of what we see in the trailer. Like every single one of them gets recruited for an individual mission. And eventually when they realize that they've all been assigned to the same mission, it's a setup, you know, and this setup is, you know, find Sentry. Obviously that goes well. And you know, shenanigans ensue. At this point, I would have just placed Thunderbolts kind of like as an R-rated movie to kind of give it a little bit more leeway, kind of make it more fun for the audience. And just because all of these characters, if you think about it, they all have R-rated potential, you know? And I think that's probably like what's going to be one of the biggest misses with this movie is like they're making it PG-13 and they're limiting what these characters can do. In a sense, because like imagine, for example, a character like Ghost who can just phase through freaking
yank somebody's heart out.
Yeah, just phase through and just rip them in half or something, you know. And it's not like saying that R-rated violence it automatically makes a movie good. That is not what I am saying in any case. But I feel like giving these characters an R rating would have let more leeway into how these characters are in the comics, you know? And that's my sense. And that's like that's my take on it, because this movie really is just Marvel's take on the Suicide Squad. Like, this is essentially Marvel's Suicide Squad. And I just wanted to do well because Florence Pugh is absolutely amazing. And so is Red Guardian and Taskmaster and all these characters kind of like deserve the opportunity to shine on their own. Bucky, I feel like, is a miss for this movie, mainly because he's not really in it as much as he's being promoted. He's being promoted a lot, but you know, as Red kind of teased with this whole he's a congressman thing, he's busy, you know. You can't just necessarily leave Congress and go be Winter Soldier all of a sudden, you know. There's going to be a lot of eyes on you. But there's potential in this movie to kind of make it absolutely fun. And I know that there's a couple of things that are going to be very interesting. There's one thing I did want to mention. Marvel clearly does not know how to handle Taskmaster.
No.
I saw what Taskmaster looks like, you know, in because there's a couple of things with like the concept art. Some of these characters still keep like the look they have in the concept art, but there are very drastic costume changes for some of them. Like Red Guardian has a very different costume from the one in the concept art. We kind of saw that at Comic-Con, which is like red and yellow. There were Taskmaster's costume. It has more of the comic accurate look. It's going there. It's getting there. If she has the hood, you know, it's kind of like a SHIELD uniform in a sense. It kind of gives that look, but they really don't know what to do with the mask, you know, because the mask really, if I had to describe the mask, how it looks, imagine if anyone has ever seen Red Hood from DC Comics, just the way that helmet looks, that's exactly how Taskmaster looks. And the skull is just like, nah, it doesn't work, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, the Taskmaster design in Black Widow was acceptable, but it wasn't necessarily 100% comic accurate. It was just kind of weird. And then in Thunderbolts, it just looks bad, bro. It's just, that's my take on it. But I'm not going to let that distract me from this movie. I know it's going to be 100% fun. There is one theory I did want to say, because I don't know 100% how this is going to happen. I do know that there's currently a very, very high probability that a character, that one of the Thunderbolts is going to die. And I talked to Brian about this. Brian knows what I'm talking about. The Marvel curse that I don't think anyone has ever noticed, but it kind of makes sense how a father figure always dies in Marvel sequels. It's very weird, but it's a thing when you think about it. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, you had Queen Ramonda die. In Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Peter lost both of his dads. He lost Ego and he lost his daddy. I forgot the name. Yondu. Yondu. He lost Yondu. In Avengers Age of Ultron, we don't really see a parent, a father figure die. But,
But Thor, his father dies.
In Thor 3.
His brother dies. His brother dies in the second one. His father dies in the third.
Yeah, no, but it's always
his mother dies in the second one.
Yeah.
There we go. The mother dies in the second one, you know? And Cap 2, there wasn't really a fatherly death. Well,
Peggy died. Nick Fury. Right?
Peggy died in the third one.
Oh, third one. Okay.
You know, but in the second one, Nick Fury dies, quotation marks. Mm-hmm. But he obviously comes back, but it quotation marks, Nick Fury died in that one. Iron Man 2, we're talking about Tony's dad's death. You know, there's a lot about like the history of the father and all that. And you also see the dad of Ivan Vanko, the villain from Iron Man 2. You see Ivan die in the beginning of the movie. So Marvel usually has these things to kill a parental figure in the second move, in the second part, in like in the sequel of their franchises. Spider-Man 2, actually, now that I think about it, Spider-Man 2, you saw the death of freaking they were talking about the death of Tony Stark and the grief that comes with that.
And May dies too in No Way Home.
On May dies, yeah, but that's like the threequel. It's always like the second one. I'm talking about the curse of like Marvel movies and how a parental figure always dies in the second movie to kind of boost the plot. Yeah. And it happens a lot. And my theory is they're going to do it again in Thunderbolts. And I feel like Red is going to be very happy about this.
I don't want him to die.
they're probably going to kill Red Guardian. I'm just saying. They're probably
Red, why are you twirling your mustache there?
Leave me alone.
What's interesting about these two films though, that back to back, is that Phase 5 has been a lot of the multiverse, and we're ending with two grounded stories of like our street, like our global superheroes, which I think is interesting because what it leads into next, which is the Phase 6 film, the next one that we saw footage of, which is the Fantastic Four, now called Fantastic Four First Steps.
Which I think was an absolute mistake. It should have been First Family, but go nuts, Marvel.
I understand what they're referencing. I get it. It's a NASA
Is it like
reference.
Moon?
Yes.
The First Steps on a Moon, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, come
explains
on.
Explains why the working title is Blue Moon.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I know. I saw the suits, like, come on now.
I know they're going to space. I know they're going to the moon. And I know the whole thing. The thing is, it's not... It's like, it was right there. Marvel's First Family, it's like right there.
I like it. I like it a lot, but of course I do. Yeah.
Oh, no, but I'll probably grow out of it, you know?
I will say this. I was thinking that what it should have been, because I got the space reference too, but what my brain went to, it should have been the Fantastic Four, a giant leap, because like one giant leap for mankind. And then that's what the film is going to lead to, them leaping universes. To me, I was like, that was like the better space reference there.
Save it for the sequel.
There you go. That's true.
Save it for the sequel. the sequel of them adapting to another universe. Sure. Anyway.
So they did not start filming this film yet. It does not start until Tuesday, apparently, but we did get some test footage. What are our thoughts, boys? Because I've heard some mixed reactions. Seems like everybody seems to like it, but I think there's something that Alex pointed out that's very interesting about it.
I thought it was AI generated at first. I'm not gonna lie to you.
It looked AI generated.
I don't wanna lie. It really looked AI generated. And because I thought to myself, how the hell did they film this so fast? They started this week. You know, how did they get like them in costume and then shoot all of these different sequences? And I'm pretty sure that most of this is just test footage. You know, test footage of them like auditioning and stuff
auditions
like that.
Auditions and chemistry tests for sure.
Yeah, yes. No, but there's that's what I've been thinking. Yeah, because it's probably that. And I will give credit. One of the things that I love the most about Fantastic Four is I knew the moment that they teased in everyone's arguing me with this all the time, like, no, it was a music reference. They weren't referencing them about being in the 60s back in Doctor Strange 2. Yes, they were. It's the reason why I literally wrote the article about why the Fantastic Four should be in the 1960s, literally not even a month after Doctor Strange 2 came out, because we knew this was going to be the plot. But what we were not sure about was whether or not they were going to involve the multiverse, or it was going to be, you know, set in 616 and then everybody just kind of forgot about them. But, you know,
which we talked about. So very early on, we had that conversation multiple times over multiple, it was happening. The 60s was like set so long ago.
It was so long ago that we knew about like this being set in the 60s, and I was always intrigued about that notion, because what intrigued me about it at first when I heard about it being set in the 60s was, oh my god, they're going to talk about the Stark Expo, they're going to talk about Tony Stark, we're going to see Howard, we're going to see Peggy, you know, we're going to get that chance to see them again.
Hank Pym.
You know, and Hank Pym at that point, I don't think he was. I think he had left S.H.I.E.L.D. by that point. I can't remember the Ant-Man movie time.
Yeah, he left in the 80s.
He left in the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the mission was set in the 80s
It was the Cuban Missile Crisis, I believe.
No, what's the name of Evangeline Lilly? Not Hope? Oh, my God.
Hope?
What's the... Janet Van Nine. I remember it. Yeah. Okay. Guys, listen, I was in the hospital a few days ago, so my mind is still very tricky, and I had a massive headache yesterday, but I'm still working through it, guys. It's okay. Thank you. But I was excited about it, because they could have talked so much about like that particular era, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, John F. Kennedy, all that stuff. And, you know, but them doing it in another universe, it kind of makes sense. And the reason why they're doing it in another universe is, before we get into that, I did want to praise the particularity of getting Matt Shakman to do this movie after what he did with WandaVision, you know, and the way that he shot it with like the 4:3 ratio, the styling, the way the set design, everything that he did with WandaVision for like the first two episodes, it really made him the perfect candidate to direct this movie for the particular vision Marvel wanted to do. And then also this free reign of kind of like, you're gonna get to do the Fantastic Four in a futuristic setting with a 60s retro vibe. Honestly, I love it with Marvel going retro again. You know, I'm hoping we get to see some TVA styling, you know, the way that they had like that orange retro, but like this time just give it a Jetsons vibe. Just I love how this movie is giving me so many Jetsons vibes. But yes,
beautiful.
Yeah. And listen, the Fantastic Car flying into Hall H, one of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life. That was goated. That was absolutely like, we are going to flex our budget here. The holes of the Fantastic Car flying in at Hall H. I was like, damn, that's dope. But there is one thing that I did want to mention with this movie being set in another universe. And that's that Marvel is taking this movie to have the chance to show the audience what exactly can happen when a universe is about to end. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give too many spoilers on what that means, but just think about how the possibilities of having another universe be introduced and just being given free rein to kind of explore what happens in a universe where it's not like, if this universe isn't the main one, the chances of it being destroyed are so much higher. Like the chances of Marvel letting it be like kaboom, it works. And you know, introducing Galactus at this point very early on it's bold but not unexpected. And the reason why I say this is you guys remember this character from Doctor Strange 2 called America Chavez, right?
Yeah.
Never heard of her. Me neither. What's her particularity in regards to the multiverse, aside from the fact that she can travel to different universes?
She's the only one of herself.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the same thing I'm hearing goes for Galactus. Galactus is going to be the only individual in the entire multiverse. So this is the one. There is no Galactus variant. This is him, period. And like it gives me a very interesting it gives an interesting take to this character, because it allows this it makes Galactus just this much more menacing, because you can immediately think to yourself, holy crap, this guy has absolutely destroyed other universes then, if that's the case, if he's ever needed to feed his hunger, right? So just the implication that he's the only one of his kind in the entire multiverse, and he's existed for a really long time just feeding off planets across not only one universe but various, it really makes him just this incredibly powerful entity in the Marvel universe. And the implication for the Marvel multiverse overall, it's really great. And I'm glad they kind of waited to show off Galactus up until this point.
I will say, what I like about them doing in a different universe as well is not just like, can you see this whole world end? But it does introduce these characters without needing to try to explain it all away. Like, you know, because I remember when they first got the mutants, people were like, oh, you could just say that Hugh Jackman was there with Captain America back in the, you know, the 40s. And like, it was just a thing, you know, and like this, the same way they did with Deadpool, it exists in a different world. And that's so easy and so complex. And it makes the story simple without having to backtrack and try to explain what people are going to be questioning about these characters in this world. It's smart. It's just like a really smart, logical way to get them to this piece of the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
But this does lead, you know, so we got this footage, we got to see the car. I love the futuristic feel. But the big announcement of the night was directors of our two next Avengers, a renaming and a casting. So we're going to get into that. The Russo brothers are back.
But before we do,
go back.
I'm not done about Fantastic Four. I just want to say.
Go on.
No, this is just a minor thing. It's not a spoiler or anything, but Michael Giacchino coming back to score Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Have you heard that score? Have you, like, it's the first time I've ever heard, like, a superhero's name be introduced into the theme. But just the choir going Fantastic Four, it's like, bruh, that is, Michael has done some incredibly good scores for Marvel. He literally composed the opening music for every single Marvel Studios film from 2016 onward. So like the opening credits that we hear, the dun, 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 that's him. And obviously Spider-Man, all the Spider-Man films, The score is fantastic, and I did like the variation he did with the Spider-Man theme for the Marvel Studios logo for that one. However, him coming, and also obviously Werewolf by Night and all the stuff that he's done, I will say though, him coming back to do Fantastic Four is just fantastic, and just the way he handled it with like sci-fi vibe and orchestra. You can kind of hear a little bit from it when in on Thursday when they did the drone and they had like Galactus coming in. You heard a little bit of Galactus's theme, and then you had the Fantastic Four logo show up in the sky and with the fireworks, and you just heard that music blaring, and it was like, oh, that is sick. That is absolutely sick. But now we can transition to the next portion of the show, because it's important to note that the Fantastic Four will return for these next two movies.
Yeah, both of them. And in fact, I think they even said, or I should say, I saw tweets that said in the hall, they said that all the characters of Captain America, the characters of Fantastic Four, and the characters of Thunderbolts are all coming back for both of these.
That is correct. So, the Thunderbolts are expected to come back. I 100% is going to be Yelena and Bucky Barnes. I don't think the others might come back, but Yelena and Bucky Barnes, 100% guaranteed, they're going to show up. Cap 4, you have Captain America, you have Joaquin Torres. I don't think Isaiah Bradley is going to be in this one. I don't think Red Hulk is going to show up in this one either. Huh. But and then Fantastic Four, you're 100% getting all four of the you're getting all four of the family. You're going to get Franklin. That's actually a spoiler. Franklin Richards is in Fantastic Four and the Future Foundation. And the Future Foundation is going to be fun, because it's Fantastic Four is not an origin story per se. It's like, all right, here's a little bit of origin story. The Fantastic Four exist, and then boom, jump start into the future. And the Fantastic Four no longer exist, and everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. And they only come back when Galactus decides to show up and destroy their world. So, spoilers! Hey! But
that's why we're here.
That's why we're here. But yeah, Future Foundation is going to be a very, very interesting plot point for this movie in particular, for Fantastic Four. And it's also going to be a very important part of the multiverse. If anyone's ever read Secret Wars, you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, moving on. Now we can dive into the beautiful final announcement of the night from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, so we have the two films, back-to-back Avengers films, May 2025 and May 2026.
No, May 2026 and May 2027.
You're right. That is correct.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I really don't want more Avengers next year, please.
But we originally knew it was going to be Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars, and now there's been a name change. It's going to be Secret Wars still in the 2027, but 2026 is going to be Doomsday with Dr. Doom, played by none other than Robert Downey Jr. That was the big kicker of the night. And Alex, I know you're going to have a lot to say about this, so I'm going to give us 1 second, okay?
That's okay. Yeah, you guys go ahead first.
Anthony, this was supposed to be the big reveal, the big hoopla, the big, like, this was what people came to for Hall H. Did it do anything for you?
I'm going to be honest, no one cares about my thoughts on this. They only want to hear what Alex has to say.
I really
don't have much to say, because I was getting prepped to follow everything along, and I fell asleep, and I woke up at midnight. So like everything had already happened. So I spent probably an hour trying to get caught up on everything. And I'm like, damn, it's something I would have never, ever, ever, ever expected. Like, it was not even something I had, even as a joke, would I have said it. So it was a lot to, that information was a lot to process in one go. Cause that, like, it was really a triple whammy. I mean, one,
right.
Russo brothers, two, Robert Downey Jr.'s back. Well, hold on. He's not Tony Stark. He's going to be Victor Von Doom. Oh, what? You know, like, all that at once was a lot to process. Right.
And buried in that news too, we found out that the writer is Michael Waldron is no longer the writer either.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah, no, that was confirmed. I think it was
that last was like month. 2 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It last month, or by Nexus Point News, the folks at Nexus Point News, they kind of covered that information. So yeah, it was interesting, and now they got what's his name? Christopher. Yeah. They got one of them. They didn't get both, that which is interesting to me. It was confirmed that the writer for both of these films is only Christopher McCready. It's not the duo this time around. So I don't know what happened there. But something, you know, did. Yeah, no, I mean, maybe he's there. You know, I know 100% though, Avengers Doomsday, unless they took out parts of their script, it's going to be another Deadpool scenario where it's just going to be writers, and it's just going to be a bunch of writers enlisted. You're going to see Jeff Loveness at the top of that list, followed by Michael Waldron, and then Christopher McCready is like, dang, this is tough.
I want to say about the Robert Downey Jr. thing is that, correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, you told me like a month ago he was coming back and it was going to be in a villain role, and we were kind of bouncing around ideas of how it was going to play out. And I do remember being like, interesting. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how it's going to play out. And I think I still felt that way last night when they said it. I didn't feel excited. I didn't feel like anxious or like upset about it. I just felt like it's weird, but I guess we're rolling with it.
The first thing I need to mention about the reveal was when he was about to take off his mask, I need to find video to see if I was hearing right. Before he took off his mask, somebody in the hall screamed, "Jared Leto!"
They did.
And there was this moment of like, fuck no. It's like time froze in that moment, and I was like, fuck no, that's not gonna be, they wouldn't dare do Jared Leto, and then Robert Downey Jr., and then my brain immediately imagined being in front of an explosion, you know, when an explosion goes off, especially a nuke goes off, and all you hear is just like the tinnitus.
Yes.
It's just that, that's exactly what that felt like. There was no audience cheering for me. It was just absolute shock. You could see the dolly zoom going into my face. It's just like, what in the absolute fuck is going on? It was
wild.
I would say, so you're right in that I did discuss, and I've been discussing this for a really long time, because I knew Robert was going to come back for Secret Wars. The thing was, when I talked about what he was going to be, for the longest time, I was told he was going to be a villain role, because that's kind of like what they wanted to do. They wanted to kind of have this hero of the universe, you know, because that's what he's revered as in 616. They see Tony Stark as this giant hero who managed to save all of humanity from the threat of Thanos. And it's kind of like one of those points where everyone knows that story. But just the thought that now a variant of him who has that exact same face is now the biggest threat to not only that universe, but the multiverse in general, is perhaps a very interesting concept. And I always thought to myself that, you know, he would have been the villain for Avengers 5, but as Superior Iron Man. Never in my wildest dreams did I think to myself it was going to be Victor Von Doom. Never in my wildest dreams did I think this guy is going to be Dr. Doom. And I know that a lot of people have literally, let's be honest, a lot of people give me a lot of shit all the time on Twitter and on social media. And I'm fine with most of it. Because there's one thing I will not stand for, that's disrespect on my platform. Like, I do not tolerate people going up and saying, oh, you're a liar, or you do things for clout. I could be making money off my Twitter, and I don't. Every time I log in, all I see is like, you're missing out on ad revenue. And it's like, that's not why I do this. I don't do this for money or for clout or whatever. I do it because I'm a nerd and I like explaining things to the public, because if I don't explain it, there's a high chance people are not going to be able to understand it. And that's my take on it. You could agree with it, whatever. The thing is, the first person, and I'm going to say this, and I give credit where credit is due, the first person who gave us the red flag that Robert Downey Jr. was going to come back as Doom was Jeff Snyder. Yep. He wrote it on his blog, and he himself didn't believe it. He didn't believe the rumor to be true. And then immediately after, I remember like that was the first thing that came into my mind. Like, where is Jeff Snyder now? And then like I see his tweet, and the first thing he says is, "I am releasing everything that Source said right now." It's like, that's a bad idea. But then he, like, in those conversations, that very source which he posted said that the variant that we see of RDJ as Dr. Doom is Tony Stark. It's not Victor Von Doom. It's just Tony Stark as Victor Von Doom. And it's Tony Stark as Dr. Doom, which is why I refer to the Tony Stark variant as Dr. Doom. It's going to, it only makes sense for it to be Dr. Doom and not Victor, mainly because I feel like Victor should be someone else. I don't want, yes. I don't want it to be associated that way. And mm-hmm. if it's Victor at the end of the day, that's fine. Okay. I mean, sure, it sucks for casting purposes, but eventually they're going to find another Victor Von Doom. The thing is, if anyone who's ever read Secret Wars understands, you know, what we're getting into, I don't want this to be my issue with Doom coming in now. Is we're only going to get two projects with Victor Von Doom, or Dr. Doom in this case. We're only going to get two projects with Dr. Doom, and that's it. And, you know, and you could say, no, but he survives at the end of the Secret Wars comic, you know, when the universe is rebuilt and he has a beautiful face now and Reed gets the last laugh by taking away Doom's pain and making him beautiful again. You know, yeah, but, like, the whole point of having Dr. Doom, I would have had Dr. Doom, like, lead him up to be this big villain of an entire saga, the same way they built Thanos from Avengers 1, which I feel like was the thing they were trying to do with Kang. They set him up in Loki, and they continued with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, and they were trying to set him up more and more and more. And now just they course corrected over the entire thing. And as of right now, I want you to understand, like, a lot of people have been asking me, what are they going to do about Kang? Kang is gone. Him and all his variants and the Council of Kang, they're gone. And it was implied at the end of Loki. That, like, at the end of Loki, when and in season 2, when they're saying that the TVA is rounding up all of the variants, that's it. That Council of Kang's thing where they're all showing up at that stadium, we're just supposed to assume now that all of these variants of Kang have vanished and have disappeared. And that really pisses me off because, like you said, it's a post-credit scene that leads to nowhere. And it's like, they could have recasted this character. I get it. They didn't want to recast Kang, particularly because no actor in their right mind would willingly touch this role with a 10-foot pole, because afterwards they would have to deal with all of the backlash regarding Jonathan Majors firing and all of this. Since and because that's the thing that trades do. Trades look for clicks with all of these types of articles and, you know, and trying to, like, spark up drama, because that sparks up views, which sparks up money, you know. And I get that no actor in their right mind would have, you know, no agent, because actors could probably think like, oh, this role is perfect because I'm in Marvel. But no agent or manager would have recommended them to join as the recasting of Kang, mainly because of the whole backlash that Jonathan Majors had. And these actors were 100% going to be asked about that regardless of the outlet. So they just decided, you know what, let's course correct and let's go with Doom. Which is just so lazy. It's lazy. That's because I love Doom, but again, it's lazy. You're just giving, sure, you're going to do Secret Wars accurately now, but at what cost? You haven't built up Doom. You're not going to introduce him in Fantastic Four, because at least to what I'm understanding, Dr. Doom isn't even in Fantastic Four. Victor Von Doom doesn't exist in that universe. We're going to get an inkling at some point, maybe as a post-credit scene, but for all accounts and purposes, Victor Von Doom doesn't exist in the Fantastic Four universe as of yet. This stuff could change. They could introduce him now. this is stuff that has been like mentioned prior to the whole, you know, recast and Jonathan Majors situation. So this type of thing could change. Now they might introduce Victor Von Doom. We don't know. But it's
pushed out Secret Wars. We needed time now. We needed time to have Victor Von Doom be a villain.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, Secret Wars with Dr. Doom, I mean, fantastic. Literally, God Emperor Doom is just one of the best villains in the comics. But you're only going to get him for two movies. And then what are you supposed to do with Doom after that? You know, it's like, sure, bring him back as a villain in another Fantastic Four film. But you're going to put my problem with Doom, introducing Doom now and doing Secret Wars with him, is you're going to introduce Doom at his peak. You're going to put him at the highest peak of his power, introducing him at the highest peak of his power, that whatever actor comes after Robert Downey Jr. to do Doom in any future installment is going to suffer, because the character is going to be compared to Doom at his highest. And they're going to do the same. It's going to be another Hulk situation where, like, oh, Edward Norton's Hulk was stronger than Bruce Banner and the trash that is Smart Hulk, you know? And it's going to happen. And it's what makes me mad about this. And it doesn't let me enjoy the fact that we're going to get Doom. And, you know, the other thing is there's so many different stories that need to be set up beforehand, because we need to understand that as of right now, leading into Secret Wars, and I mean, not even Secret Wars, leading into Doomsday, the Avengers are not assembled at all. We don't even know what the Avengers roster is. Because right now, the only people that we know that exist within the Avengers are Wong, the Sorcerer Supreme, right? He's in there. Doctor Strange, he's in the Avengers, but guess where he is? He's in the Dark Dimension with Clea. That's one storyline that we have to address in Avengers 5. You have Carol Danvers, who is currently investigating the source of the bangle, because she's trying to bring back Monica Rambeau, which was supposed to be the entire point of an Avengers versus X-Men storyline. Because it was supposed to, one of the ideas that they had proposed was the Avengers kind of like going on this multiverse thing, but it's not necessarily like them going to get Monica, more of showing what an incursion happens. And because, you know, Monica is currently trapped in another Earth. This Earth involves the X-Men, and this Earth is currently Earth 10,005, according to what my sources are saying, which is the same universe Deadpool and Wolverine are set in. And the idea that Deadpool and Wolverine was trying to set up, you know, is in Deadpool and Logan's mind, they were trying to put the sacred timeline as the bad guy. You know, you have Paradox who's offering that Wade the opportunity to be a part of this universe, but at the cost of what? What does Wade have to do to get to the sacred timeline and be a part of the Avengers and be a part of this entire group of heroes? His universe has to die. That's the entire premise of like Paradox's mission of trying to get Wade to join the sacred timeline. So in Wade's mind and in Logan's mind and all other variants' mind, the sacred timeline is essentially just the main universe, in quotation marks, but they all think they're the main universe. Like, they all think that Deadpool and Logan think that the universe they live in is the main one and they have to protect it. The same thing goes for Elektra, and the same goes for Blade, and the same goes for Gambit. You know, they all have to protect their own universes from incursions. And now the next incursion that was supposed to occur was Earth 616 and Earth 10,005, which is because of Monica existing in Earth 10,005 and her 616, you know, I'm not going to say DNA because that's not the term, but her physiology existing from Earth 10,005 and from 616 entering to 10,005, it was going to lead to an incursion, and it's supposed to lead to an incursion, which is supposed to have, you know, the Avengers facing off against the X-Men, because they're not trying to fight each other for the purpose of like trying to eliminate each other, like in the comics. It's not an Avengers versus X-Men scenario per se. It's just them trying to protect each other's universe. And in order to do that, they have to defeat the other one. So that's kind of like the gist of it. And then you had Carol Danvers trying to find Monica Rambeau and using the bangles to try to figure out if there's a way to reopen the portal that connects both of these universes. Bruce Banner is supposed to come in and react to what's happening in Brave New World. Now the government has access to his Hulk DNA, and now a billion versions of the Hulk can be synthesized and created at will. This was his number one fear, and this sets up another storyline, World War Hulk, where you have Bruce Banner and Jennifer Walters coming back in and joining with the Avengers to kind of handle this Hulk situation. You know, that's another storyline. What I'm saying is, there are so many storylines that could have been done beforehand, before getting into Doomsday, before getting into Secret Wars, and trying to join the Avengers together. Because at this point, the Avengers are not aware of each other's existence because they're all in different groups and they're all separated. You have Sam Wilson with Joaquin Torres and Isaiah. You have Shang-Chi with Katie in another corner of the universe. You have Spider-Man, who is literally out in New York, but no one knows who he is. You have Daredevil, which is in the exact same scenario, and they're supposed to be handling the Kingpin versus Mayor. The Kingpin is Mayor thing, and it's going to be addressed in Daredevil Born Again, which is like Fisk becomes Mayor, vigilantes get outlawed, he's after Daredevil and he's after Spider-Man, you know. And these are all storylines that are supposed to be addressed at some point within the next 2 years, and it is impossible. They're gonna address Spider-Man for sure, because Spider-Man 4 is coming up and they're gonna start filming relatively soon in a couple of months. And great, they're gonna handle the vigilante storyline and the symbiote storyline, because yes, the symbiote's gonna show up in Spider-Man 4. You guys can relax. It's not the Venom thing was it's a play. Don't stress out. But you have that. How are they going to do Carol finding Monica? Are they going to address that in Doomsday? Doctor Strange being off in the dark dimension with Clea, who's supposed to somehow find Dormammu. Are they going to address that in that scenario? And then you have the whole Fantastic Four coming in from their universe into 616. At the exact same time, you're mixing a lot of different stories together, which is going to be very difficult for one movie to do. And that's my main concern, because you're introducing Doom, you're introducing the Fantastic Four, you're introducing the X-Men, you're introducing the different storylines. And it's stressful, because I can't picture them doing this clean in the next 2 years. Unless we get like an Avengers 4.5, like there's a couple of dates before the May 2026. I have to look them up, but there's
two. A couple, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the dates particularly. I think there's
one before Doomsday, and then there's two between Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars. I don't remember the dates either, but there is one is believed to be Blade, but uh-huh. it almost doesn't fit. It almost like the story, like why introduce another storyline if we're like you have other stories that you almost need to.
And the thing is, they're gonna introduce Blade, and then there's also Marvel Zombies, because Marvel Zombies, you have Blade, who's also surprisingly the Fist of Khonshu, Blade Moon Knight, everybody. And it's just like, it's so much stuff happening. Not to mention, we're going to get What If Season 3 before we get Doomsday and Secret Wars. And that's just another thing you got to take into consideration, because you're going to get Uatu, and you're going to get Captain Carter, and you're going to get Kahori. You know, you're going to get them in the Secret Wars. And there's so many things that they want to do for Secret Wars that... To me, the May 2026 and May 2027 dates are so weirdly positioned, because to me, it just seems like they just want to get the multiverse saga over with. They don't want to deal with this anymore. And they're just like, listen, they even made fun about it in Deadpool and Wolverine. Like, the multiverse thing is just kind of suckish. So we're like, can we just be done with it?
The gays had it right with Wizard of Oz.
That line was great.
It's true. Yeah. We knew about it years ago. It does. It does feel like, I mean, I don't know how you felt, Anthony, when you saw it, but when I saw that they kept that date, I was there like, oh, they just want this to be over.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, man, I kind of get it. It's one of those things, like, it's a, you know, Band-Aid sort of situation. Do you peel it off slowly or just rip it off and get it over with? I guess they're just going to rip it off.
Like, they want the reset. Like, they want that fresh world that they can play in. That they have all these characters now. They have everything but Spider-Man and his world, basically. You know, like, they want it to be over with so quickly and sweetly and just move on with their life. You can't blame them.
Yeah, no.
Alex, what do you think needs, like, what is it absolutely needs to happen then before we get to Secret Wars? And we have three movies that we don't know that to answer it. If you had to pick your pieces, what pieces do you put in those puzzle pieces?
Like, three movies before Secret Wars?
Yeah, like, what is, okay, like, and your idea, like, what are those pieces that, like, what are those movies that have to be there for Secret Wars to go off with, like, some kind of cohesive semblance of an ending?
The thing is, they're still doing so many things. Like, for example, we're supposed to get a Vision series in 2026. And we're supposed to get Wonder Man at some point next year.
Daredevil season 2.
Daredevil part 2, yes. We're going to get Born Again part 2. And it's like, it's just so much of a mess at this point, because even if I tell you what I think should happen now, they're just going to add more things that it just really doesn't, it wouldn't add to it. And it's funny because they're like, oh, we're going to go with 2 to 3 movies a year and maybe 2 shows a year, you know, and yet somehow you got all of these projects leading into 2026. And, you know, what would I do? Okay, first and foremost, the first thing that needs to happen, 616 needs to get their Avengers in order. I don't care if it's the main Avengers or if it's the Young Avengers, because I know that they're trying to set up the Young Avengers, but I don't want this to be like, let's have the Avengers on one end and then the Young Avengers are just the rookie sidekicks that show up for like quippy jokes in 15 minutes. Like, I don't want that. I want the Young Avengers to have their own story, their own proper introduction, which I heard was supposed to like tie into a certain Avenger that a lot of people really, 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 really like. And she has a lot of stans. A lot of them follow me on social media and, you know, often
ask me about her. Are you talking about a Scarlet Witch?
Oh my God. Don't say her name out loud.
We summon them.
I can already feel them rumbling in my room. I heard a disturbance in the Scarlet Witch force. You know, and it was funny because we saw the Scarlet Witch and Deadpool and Wolverine technically like on the statue. And it's like, that's interesting. So that's where the Wundagore Mountain fell. It fell right into the void. Mm. Anyways, leading away. Leading away from that subject. No, I don't take my words seriously, folks.
It's 10:40 at night. We can't be held to what we're talking about here.
No, not that. There's because I know that what I know they are all desperate for crumbs. You know, they all want things, and the thing with that is the thing with Wanda is right now. I know they want to bring her back. The thing is, Wanda's just very, very dead. And they really want to keep it that way for the time being. And it really sucks because Elizabeth Olsen is just fantastic. And I know that she's going to come back, definitely will. But I don't see it happening as a part of 616. Rather just a part of the multiverse. If she shows up before Secret Wars, and if not, then literally just as part of the reset that happens after Secret Wars, because the whole thing with Secret Wars is just they're going to reset the Marvel universe and the Marvel multiverse and just kind of do a soft reboot. And there's just going to be, it's a continuation, but there's going to be variances. Some characters are going to come back. Some characters are going to be incorporated. Some things are going to be changed. And it literally leads into this conversation. I think I had it with you, Brian, a while back, that was about like, what did the original Marvel universe look like? You know, because we know that the sacred timeline is a timeline that He Who Remains created. And right. there's this theory, you can see my air quotation marks, right? There's this theory that I wrote about how He Who Remains and Kang kind of created the sacred timeline without the Fantastic Four and without the X-Men so that they could ensure that he could, you know, eventually rise to power and nobody could get in his way and he could create the TVA and all this stuff. So now that they're all going to be incorporated into the sacred timeline, and they're going to be incorporated into 616 eventually, you know, we're essentially going to get what the main Marvel universe is supposed to look like prior to Kang tampering with the universe. So it's going to be interesting because we're essentially going to get what the Marvel universe is always supposed to look like from the very beginning, even from Iron Man and the Infinity Saga, which, like, these are the movies that people have grown up with for so many years. And it's such a controversial idea that, like, the universe that we've seen and grown up with for so many years is not the original version of it. Now we're going to see what this universe is supposed to be after Secret Wars, with the X-Men, with the Fantastic Four, with the mutants, with Spider-Man, with the Avengers. And we're going to get all of these interesting stories that I hope, you know, eventually we'll be able to continue and thrive. But, you know, if it doesn't end well, I could just very well say Secret Wars is like Marvel's big last hurrah before going in and just starting fresh with this new universe. Okay.
Any last thoughts from either one of you about what we saw in Hall H, what's coming up? Good, the bad, the ugly.
Anthony, you talk, please, because I need a lozenge.
I'm glad that they focused on at least some of the short-term future, like the upcoming films. Mm-hmm. And I guess I appreciate that they just kind of outright got the Avengers out of the way. The only thing I'm a little confused and a little disappointed on is we didn't get a slate update, but I understand why they did that, because they probably didn't want to disappoint anybody on any movements or just pauses. I mean, like, it's, I hate to say it, but it's been 5 years and still no movement on Blade. So, like, I can't imagine them coming out yesterday and saying, oh, by the way, this movie is still being worked on, it's coming, we just don't know when. So I get why they didn't mention it. I'm hoping D23 says something. I'd assume they'll have some clarity there.
We're gonna get two interesting panels that I think, well, there's a couple of panels that I think fans should really look forward to in this year particularly. I know there's going to be more, but the ones I can talk about directly are D23. You know, we're going to get a Marvel Animation update, and we're also going to get a Marvel Studios update. And for D23, I'm expecting it to be a whole lot more about the Disney Plus shows that are coming up. So yeah. Ironheart, Agatha, Daredevil, we're going to get updates on those 100%. I know that's coming because I know that Daredevil has a trailer already. Agatha has a second trailer already, and Ironheart has a trailer already. Wonder Man, it's possible that they may announce it, you know,
officially.
Officially, because, you know, it's been a while, and it's and they already have stuff ready for that. So I know that we're gonna.
It's done filming, correct?
It's already done filming, and they've already been doing post production for a while. You know, and I just need to see what Josh Gad does in this show. Okay, that's all I need, because J- just the idea of the man who brought Olaf to life is now in a Marvel production. It's like, what are you doing? Like, this is
real
quick, be interesting.
I saw a Broadway musical with him in it back in December, and I have never laughed so hard in a musical that I cried. I laughed from start to finish. And if you didn't love Josh Gad before seeing Gutenberg the musical, I'm not telling people to go look for the slime tutorial of Gutenberg the musical on YouTube, but you probably should, because it is hysterical. He can do no wrong in my eyes. I'm so excited for him to be in Wonder Man.
Yeah. So yeah, there's D23 now in August, in 2 weeks, which is going to be interesting for a lot of people. August 10th, I think, is the date. Someone can correct me on that. But yeah, we're going to get also Marvel Animation. We're going to get a Marvel Animation update. We're going to get updates on Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. We're going to get updates on Eyes of Wakanda. We're going to get updates on X-Men 97 Season 2. And we're also going to get an update on What If Season 3. I know that they have a Marvel Zombies trailer ready. The thing is, I don't know what the hell is going on with that show. I don't know if we're going to get it, if we're not going to get it, because the thing has been in limbo for so long. Like, listen, they recorded voice lines for Marvel Zombies. I can tell you, listen, by the time that we get Marvel Zombies and we listen to the voices, Kamala Khan is going to sound so young in that show. And it's not because, you know, Yvonne Villani, like, changed her voice for the show. No. It's just that this was filmed a lot. It's about to be like two, almost 3 years since they recorded lines for Marvel Zombies. And the thing still hasn't come out.
I was going to say, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Chadwick Boseman actually record some lines for it before he passed?
I don't know. I know Simu Liu recorded lines in like 2021, I think. Okay. And no, 2021 or 2022, I don't remember. And it was, and I remember that it was like, oh, I finished recording my lines. And it was like, yeah, it was 2022. Yeah, I remember, because 2021, that's when Shang-Chi came out. And then it was in summer when he talked about like how he finished that. So it was like around 2022, he had finished his lines. So it, like, think about how long it's going to be before we actually get Marvel Zombies. But I hope that we get the actual update, you know, because we're going to, this is the first, even though it's only four episodes, it's the first Marvel show that's like animated show that's going to be TVMA. So it's going to be very, very like gruesome. And I really want to see it, because we're supposed to, like, Mahershala Ali recorded his lines as Blade. You know, and that's also collecting dust. And, you know, at this point, like, we kind of need to see what's going on. You know, like, it's been a minute. Yeah, I kind of want to see how that goes. And then also, apart from D23 in August, there's also D23 in November, which is going to be in Brazil. And I can confirm there's going to be panels about a lot of stuff at D23 in Brazil, because it's essentially going to be like Disney's version of CCXP that place, and it's going to be held in the Zane, it's held in a very big Coliseum in Brazil, and I can confirm from sources that, you know, work in that particular field down there in Brazil, that there are panels that are being planned. And there is a Marvel panel that will be at that weekend at D23, and they've already prepared signs saying that no panel at D23 in Brazil will be allowed to be recorded or photocopied at any point, you know, and that these panels cannot be recorded for any reason. So I am expecting some announcements in November, but at this point what they could be, I have no idea. So yeah, those are going to be some of the things that fans may want to look into as to how we move forward from this point.
Sounds like we have a lot of good things to look forward to in the next couple of months, and as we go into September with Agatha All Along and into February for Captain America Brave New World, But we also are pushing almost 2 hours on this podcast. So if we go any longer,
Lizzie's going to kill us.
Yeah. So with that being said, we are running out of time. We ran out of time 50 minutes ago, but we'd love to continue the conversation. Check us out at thecosmiccircus.com, or you can find us on Twitter or other social medias at My Cosmic Circus, or our Cosmic Circus podcast Twitter at Cosmic Podcast. Or if Lizzie sees how long this is, you might see us looking for jobs. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Cosmic Circle. My name is Brian Kitson, and you can find me on Twitter at Kitson301. Alex, Anthony, it's always a pleasure. Before we can go, where can the people find you?
They can find everything I write at thecosmiccircus.com.
Ayo!
Yes, and you can find me on Twitter on Alex from CC, and you can also find me on The Cosmic Circus writing my articles. You can also check out our Discord. Just don't tag me a lot. Apparently, that's a rule. I didn't know about that rule that you can't tag me, but yeah, don't tag me a lot. And you can also listen to us on these podcasts.
Absolutely. And of course, besides just the Cosmic Circus website, we also have Cosmic Circus Broadway. So if you like Broadway, follow us along. We are doing great things over there. We have so much going on in the cosmos, and we just can't wait to take our next trip through them with you. Take care, everybody.
Bye.